Welcome to the Apprentice Approach Podcast, Episode 17, where the ripples far exceed the splash. This is your host, Jack McQueenie. Many Christians struggle with making disciples. They feel busy, overwhelmed, and not qualified. We understand this struggle, which is why we've created a Bible-based framework so any believer can master the art of disciple-making. In today's episode, we're talking with Ron Bennett, author of multiple books, blogger, senior staff member of the Navigators, and authority on disciple-making. Ron has led discipleship ministries on university campuses, military bases, in churches, and in the workplace. He's had a background in aerospace engineering and in the military before coming on staff with the Navigators. But one of the most important things you'll need to know that Ron is my spiritual grandfather, which we'll get into the podcast today. Ron is a wealth of knowledge, but more important than his knowledge in published books, he is a practitioner. He has practical experience and application as he brings to our conversation today. Let's dive in. Welcome to today's show. We're with Ron Bennett. Ron is a great friend, and actually, as you'll find out later, is my spiritual grandfather. So I'm excited to be here with him. Ron has been on NAV staff, I think 120 years, Ron?
Almost.
How many years is this for you?
50.
50 years. This is a big year. That's tremendous. And has raised up a number of men and women. But I think not only is a disciple maker, but is I've had a chance to be with his family, his four kids, his grandkids. He's got a wife that still loves him and is with him, which Mary is a gift from God. But I think more importantly, and as an author and a thought leader in this area, we wanted to dialogue with Ron today on a part of his book that I'm going to read. I'm going to try to capture this. Ron talks about while there are valid differences of perspective on what constitute discipleship, we define Christian discipleship as a process that takes place within accountable relationships over a period of time for the purpose of bringing believers to spiritual maturity in Christ. These biblical examples suggest that discipleship is both relational and intentional, both positional and a process. So I love your book, Ron. I've gone through it. I've brought our staff through it in different times, and I feel like it's at the heartbeat of who we are. But I think in the end, the goal is spiritual maturity of discipleship. Help us understand what that really looks like to you.
Well, I think it's a maturity in any sense is a direction that we head more than an end game that we get to. And so I have added to my description of a disciple the last several years that it is a process of pursuing both knowing, reflecting, and sharing Christ. Hmm. And that those form more the coordinates of our journey. And the journey is a lifetime adventure. And so those coordinates never change, but they provide a fix for my spiritual GPS that allows me that no matter where, if I get off track, much like my phone, that it will give me directions back to my destination. So part of it to make it work is you have to lock in the coordinates on your GPS in order to keep focused and moving in that direction. So I think oftentimes in our Christian culture, we look at discipleship more as an event or as a course rather than as a lifestyle that will consume us for the rest of our life. So I have concluded that my journey for the rest of my life is to pursue those three aspects, and that is to know Christ in an ever deeper way, to reflect Christ as he transforms me more to look like him, and then to share Christ in whatever ways I can to expand the kingdom. And those are not things that places that I'll arrive, but direction that I'm headed. And so in that sense, maturity is simply an ongoing process of going deeper and understanding and continue to do those three things. So much like we look at maturity physically, and we can probably come up with indicators that would move us from adolescence to adulthood. There's no line that we automatically cross and say, well, now I'm through that. But there are traits that we would say would be we'd meet a young child, and we'd walk away going, that's a mature child. They did something, said something that would say they're pretty mature as a child. And we've also met some adults that we would say they still are childish.
Yeah.
And coming up with those indicators, a little more subjective maybe than objective, but we can come up with them. We know when we see it.
Yeah.
If there's some maturity there, but there's such a thing as a mature child, and there's a mature adolescent, and so maturity is a sort of a moving target. But for the stage we're in our Christian journey, I think there ought to be some indicators that would represent that we're making progress.
That's good. You know, I can remember when that I caught that virus, and never being the same as a result of what Larry introduced me to back at Iowa State. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is why does discipleship have to take place within accountable relationships? Why is that important?
Well, I think one of them to me is the model that we get from Jesus, so that we get the mission. And most people would say, okay, we understand the Great Commission. We know it's to make disciples. And then I think we turn around and go, and I think we could figure out how to do that, and we have all our different ways and so forth, rather than saying he gave us not only the mission, but he gave us the method. And so the method, as we look at the ministry of Christ, was a highly relational, individual relationship. And so if the model of making disciples is captured in the ministry of Christ, we would see that he certainly served a lot. He certainly preached and had a broad base, but he also had a high relational group of men and women that followed him. And I think the model of a Hebrew model of discipleship, different than a Greek model that's based on learning, the Hebrew model was based on emulation. And so when Jesus said, follow me, he wasn't saying follow my philosophy, although that was included. He was saying follow me as a person. And the way you emulate someone is to be around them, pick up who they are, what they value. And so it's a relational journey that's transferred, I believe, relationally. So not only do we want people to connect with Christ in their own discipleship relational journey, I think we learn how to emulate that journey as we watch other people and as we're connect with other people. So it's an emulation not only of Christ, but from those who would come along and coach us, model it. And so we pick up a lot from that relational framework. So 2 Timothy 2:2 creates a triad for me that I think is a framework that is a really healthy model for discipleship. And I would say now my description of a disciple is the pursuit of knowing, reflecting, and sharing Christ by means of spiritual disciplines in the context of supportive relationships. And those relationships, I think, take on both to a mentor, to a band of brothers or sisters that are on the same journey, and then to pass it on to a mentee. Those three, I think, all build maturity in us as we have those in our lives.
That's good. One of the things that, an aha for me along those lines as you talked about. I was thinking about as Jesus was walking on the water, and they were the apostles in the boat, his disciples were in the boat. Peter said, Jesus has come. And of course, Peter was going to walk on the water because Jesus walked on the water.
Right.
And I thought that's a great little snapshot of what you just shared, a great little illustration of, you know, why would he not think that he couldn't do that?
And that was his goal, was to be like Jesus in every way possible. So if Jesus walked on the water, surely he could do it as well.
Yeah.
And I think that became, they understood that their discipleship was a lifestyle of emulation of everything about Christ that they could, not his deity, of course, but everything that they could emulate. So it's not just that they knew what Jesus knew.
Mm-hmm.
It's his values, his purpose, his habits. All those were part of their focus when they thought about emulation.
Yeah.
So if our goal is to be like Jesus, it's easy to say. That the question then is, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. In what ways? I think too often we stop with just we're like him in that we believe the right things, but are we like him in terms of his values, his purpose, and all that? And that also, I mean, we see it from the scriptures in the Gospels. But we also capture it as we see examples of it. And so having that lived out among a band of people that are going in the same direction is highly impactful in terms of our own maturity.
Yeah. What happens when the accountability is missing and that those standards, you know, Jesus was pretty clear and set the bar for his followers? What does that look like for us today when accountability is missing in these kinds of intentional relationships?
Well, yeah, it's a great question. Accountability, I think, is closely related to responsibility. I think there's a danger if we create an environment where we take on for people their own personal responsibility by creating some kind of an accountability framework for them to fit into. And we all know that if we can pretend that we're accountable, if we don't want to be, we can have all the structures and we can fake it and not do that. So I think accountability starts with understanding what it is that we are to be accountable for. What is the goal that we're headed towards? And I think, to me, the marks of a disciple that Jesus outlines and gave us in the Gospels, and there are five clear marks, proofs of a discipleship. Those give us the target to which then we should be held accountable. If we're disciples, and Jesus said, if you have this quality, you are my disciple, then that's the standard that I should be held to. So it's not an arbitrary standard by somebody outside me, giving it to me, or even my own. It's like, do I have the marks that I'm trying to emulate that Christ gave me? And so then you and I together, we can talk about, am I headed in that direction? So we have something objective to start with. And for example, Jesus said, the mark of a disciple is you love one another. Well, okay, so that's not an option. And so now if I'm a disciple, I should be accountable to that quality showing itself up in my life. So now if you can come along and together you can help me assess whether I'm moving in that direction, that's an accountability, a relationship I think that would be profitable. But it's not accountability to somebody else's standard or somebody else's agenda, but we have to agree on the agenda.
Yeah.
And I think Christ gives us the agenda. It's now, can we together, can you help me figure out, how am I doing and headed in that direction?
Yeah, I like that. So as you think about that responsibility, how have you done that? How have you learned to develop and, that get through that concept to different ones throughout the years with the folks that you've met with and ministered to?
Well, I think part of it is we have to have a clear vision as what is it that we're trying to become.
Okay.
And if we don't have that, then everything's relative, everything works. So if I don't have a fairly clear picture of what I'm trying to become, that then it's hard to be accountable to it, or I create forms of accountability that are irrelevant, really. So part of it is I have to share with a band of brothers or a mentor a common direction that we can say together, we're agreed that we're going in that direction. So let's be accountable and do that together. Mm-hmm. So I think part of it is that we can't live in isolation and move in this journey of discipleship on our own, but we also have to find a band of brothers or sisters who are heading in the same direction.
Yeah,
and that's who we have to link up with and be accountable with and to. You know, how could two walk together unless they be agreed? We have to figure out what that agreement is so we can walk there and then be accountable. I think accountability to me is also a mark of maturity. Mm. And I think of just raising children or watching our grandchildren grow up. We hold them accountable by external means in order that they develop maturity to a point at which it becomes internalized. So the accountability and the responsibility is because it's something they want, not because it's somebody who's driving it from the outside.
Yeah.
So we say to our grandkids who are 4 and 5, if you do this, you get a piece of candy or whatever, and we have an external motivation. If that remains, if they are continually motivated by externals and somebody else providing the motivation, they will remain adolescence until responsibility becomes internalized and they are accountable based on their own motivation to something internalized. Then I think we hold people back in terms of maturity because somewhere along the line, we're not going to be asked and be held accountable. Mm. If we don't keep ourselves accountable and have a framework and it's not internally driven, then eventually we're going to have an opportunity. We won't do it.
Yeah. And we all know it comes from spending time in the Bible with people.
Yeah, absolutely. It becomes the values of the Scripture and the Holy Spirit. That's where the accountability comes. And so people, I think part of discipling to me is equipping people to hear the voice of the shepherd.
Yeah.
And so it's not to tell them the voice of the shepherd, it's to help them learn to hear the voice of the shepherd. And if we can do that, then their accountability comes as they meet with God, and the accountability is vertical. Mm-hmm. And that's where they're getting their motivation, and that's where they're held accountable. So, but if we don't know the voice of the shepherd, if we only hear the voice of a mentor or the voice of the pastor or who's ever on the radio, then we never internalize that responsibility.
Mm. Yeah. And it's not ours.
It's not, we don't own it.
Else. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think part of the mark of a maturity, we say this is a mature person, that they are self-motivated because they've internalized values and vision and a passion that nobody is telling them to get up and meet with God in the morning because their passion is they want to meet with God because it's internalized.
Yeah, that's great. You have these two different, I think, we can polarize these, but you've got the relational aspect of the importance, the relational piece of discipleship and that intentionality that brings accountability. How do you bring balance to both of those? How have you learned to bring balance to both of those in the context of the relationships with the guys that you've had over the years?
Well, it is. I mean, there is you got two parts that has got content and conviction and so forth, and then you have relationships, and they form a pathway and cliffs on each side, and you can fall off either direction. Mm-hmm. It can be so relational that, especially in a lot of times, men will have these environments. They call them small groups or accountability, and it's basically we just get together and share our junk. Mm. And so it's highly relational, and everybody feels affirmed, but it's not going anywhere. Then you have the other one where we just have content, and it's somebody who's dumping their knowledge, and we're absorbing it, but there's no relationship. Mm. And so to walk those two together, I think is a skill set, but part of it is just we have to value both, and we see how they work together and understand their interplay, so that when we are mentoring or being mentored, and we are, you know, talking about content, there's life issues that come up that now it's a relational issue. And so do I have the freedom and the flexibility in my mentoring to, at critical places, to say, not, this is just a relational thing, and now we just need to major on the relationship. And we don't need a lot of content. We don't need structure. We just need relationship. But then there are other times when we go, okay, we're relating, and but we now we need to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And so now we need to bring some structure. And I think oftentimes discipleship has gotten a sort of a negative view, because it looks like it's just structured and there's no life and is, quote, it's not organic. And
okay.
I'm going, organic just means there's life.
Right.
And the content isn't the life. It's the scripture that brings life, the spirit, and it's relationships that brings life. So where we are connecting in the scriptures together on the journey and sharing life transparent, but we had to be going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're just getting together to build relationships, that has to me a minor value versus that we're doing that, and it's part of the dynamics to help us go somewhere. So that's the intentionality.
Yeah, I like that, Ron. I really do. I'm just going to kind of pull off on a little rest stop here, and I'm going to ask you a question on a more practical, in a more practical way. So you've got these relationships. You're thinking about an intentionality, where you're heading. You've got the end in mind. So as you think about, again, this is a practical question, what do you do before you meet with someone? So you've got all, you're getting ready, you're going to have lunch with a guy, you're going, in some form or fashion, you're going to meet with someone. You guys will meet with a couple, but you have some things in mind that you would like to accomplish. What do you do before you get together with them?
Well, if I'm meeting on a regular basis, doesn't mean weekly,
yep,
but somewhat regular basis, I keep a journal.
Okay.
I take a logbook, mm-hmm, and so that when I get ready to meet with somebody, I'll go back and review my logbook.
Okay.
And what did we cover last time? What did we talk about? A few things I'll probably remember, but I may have forgotten a few things.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go back and review those so that when we meet together, I can pick up our conversation from where we were. And I would say I have two general categories of structure. One of them is where I really do have an agenda that we're working through.
Okay.
And that forms the tracks on which we run. So the HyQuest discipling material,
right,
are like that. It gives, uh-huh, me a track that we're using as a foundation for our time together. It means the only thing we talk about, but that's sort of the starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out of that context then that we'll cover life issues or wherever that would lead us. But I'm running on some tracks.
Okay.
I think that's important. If we're going to meet with people, that people need to have understand where we're going, and there probably needs to be some form of structure.
So that's your framework.
That's my little framework that,
right,
I'm working on.
Okay.
It doesn't limit me,
uh-huh,
but it gives me direction. And it's like having the bridge illustration and sharing the gospel. It just frames it in.
Good.
So that if I get sidetracked for a few minutes, I can come back,
yeah,
to it and know where I am. That's the advantage of that. And so having a log helps me. And,
uh-huh,
then the discipline then of after we meet, and to come back and then to fill in the log,
mm-hmm,
and say, okay, here's what we talked about. Here's kind of, I sense was an application. Here's what they said. So I keep a little bit of a record because, mm-hmm, I can't remember all the,
yeah,
things that we do. It's a little easier for meeting weekly, but if I'm meeting somebody every other week or once a month, I have guys in my network that I meet with once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have tight tracks on which to run. It's more an agenda,
yeah,
that we're coming up with as we go. So if I don't keep a logbook, I would lose where we are.
Yeah, that's helpful. And then as you think about getting together with them, as you know, as you think about your prayer life in the midst of that, and how does that enter into that? How do you engage the Spirit of God involved in that conversation and in that time as well?
Yeah, and that's great. The whole prayer aspect and meeting with people, Obviously, if we're meeting and they say, I'm wrestling with, you know, I'm losing my job, or I got this problem with my grandkids or relationship, I have specific things I can pray for people.
Uh-huh.
If I don't have those, what do I pray for people?
Yeah.
So two things have helped me in that, and prayer has not been a real strength in my life, and so I'm a novice. I'm learning how to do it effectively. But two things help me. One is that I can pray the prayers of Scripture for people.
Uh-huh.
So Paul has several prayers that he prayed for the church that are sort of generic in light of where they were going, but it wasn't specific in terms of issues they were facing, like persecution or famine type of thing. So I have that as a basis that I go back to, and I can pray those prayers for people, knowing that I'm praying the will of God, because that was the agenda. The other thing that has freed me in praying for people is that if I don't have specifics, like if there's an area that like their marriage that we're working through, of course, that gives me some specifics. Mm-hmm. But if not those specifics, I can simply pray Scripture that I'm currently reading.
Mm-hmm.
It's just where I am. And so as I'm reading in my devotional time and I'm in a passage and God is speaking to me through it, I can take that same passage and turn around and pray it for the people I'm going to be meeting with that day.
Good.
Or the people I'm going to connect with. So I don't have to have a specific agenda other than I can pray Scripture for people, and it can be the Scripture wherever I am.
Yep, that's good. Yeah, I think it's hard. Some of our listeners have engaged with us in just some practical ways. How do we do that? How do we view that time? How do we solicit that the Holy Spirit to come in and make it transforming? And I think that's really some great practical ways to do that. It is always a challenge. What an encouraging conversation. It is so rich. We need to pause there and break this into a few episodes. Ron shared how maturity in any sense is a direction we head more than an end game we need to get to. It's a moving target, but there ought to be some indicators that we're making progress. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, learning community, and feel encouraged and equipped. And we hope you'll continue to join us for the next part of our conversation with Ron as we continue talking about spiritual maturity in the context of disciple making. As always, for more on the Apprentice Approach, including other podcast episodes, resources, our blog, and to sign up for emails, visit our website, theapprenticeapproach.org. And if you haven't subscribed to the Apprentice Approach podcast in iTunes, do it today. In fact, pass it on to a friend who may need the kind of help you're getting. Until next time, this is your host, Jack McQuinney, believing God for generations of men and women like you.